Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for speaking to us in your word. Thank you for showing us what you have done and for showing us the ways that people have responded to you. Help us to look now and see what you have done in our lives. Show us the ways to respond to you that you will be most glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago, when I was a younger man, I had a new friend, and this new friend was eager to take me around to meet their old friends. They took me to a football game, and it was chaotic there, as you would imagine, at a football game, and as we traveled through the crowd, my friend would point out, "Hey, this is my friend. Hey, this is my friend," and they would bring them around and make the introductions. Well, in one of these introductions, I was immediately insulted by the man that I was speaking to. It was his language that insulted me. In fact, it was like standing too close to a manure spreader, is what this man was like. It was as if I was being slapped in the face by his profanity. I was being knocked off balance by his self-importance ignorance. I was hit over the head with his blasphemy, and it just went on and on and on, and I was frankly disgusted by the individual. When we moved on and we were walking away, it must have been noticeable that I was angry. And as my friend asked, "What's wrong?" I stopped and I turned and I gave the full report of what I thought of this person. And as I laid out what kind of person they seemed like to me, the way their language affected me, my friend's gaze went down to the ground. And my friend responded, "Well, they've always been nice to me." It was as if they were remembering the kindnesses that they had been shown. And there was a particular loyalty as they remembered, despite the way this person seems, despite the ways that they talk, and maybe even despite other things that they have done. "He's always been nice to me." If an individual can have that kind of loyalty and reflection towards someone who is so vulgar, someone so disgusting and even truly cruel, how much more so you and I, as we think back to what God has done for us, what God has done to us, and more than saying, "He has always been nice to me," we can even take it a step further and say, "He has always been good to me." So in our lives and in the things that we face, as we think of who he is and what he has done, and as he has always been good to me, I call on you this morning to remember what he has done and be moved. Because he has always been good to you. Our first step, we look at verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." For this, our first step is rejoice in the Lord your rescuer. Rejoice in the Lord your rescuer. This puts us in the place to remember where we had been and what he has accomplished. If a person can defend a vulgar individual because he has been nice to them, how much more so can we look and consider the great rescue that we have received and rejoice in him and even defend him if we need to do so, to guide our own steps as we are remembering what he has done. Verse 48, Mary lays out this particular regard that God has had for her, and we would say for the church also, and for us as individuals, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. The humble state of his bondslave. We think, and what do you think of the ways a slave is treated? In North America, we have a particular view, probably, of the ways that slaves were treated. Well, we look at our own lives and we see the ways that God has treated us. If we're regarded as a bondslave, if Mary was regarded as a bondslave, she says, "Look at me in my humble state. Unmarried. No property. No inheritance. But he has had regard for me." Each one of us can look to God and think this way. He has had regard for me in my humble state. What is your humble state? What is your humble state? Are you someone who has accomplished all righteousness? Someone who has accomplished all knowledge? Someone who has accomplished all wisdom? Are you someone who has earned God's favor? Or are you someone on whom he has had pity? Pity. Like we sung about in Psalm 103. He has looked on you and he has had pity for you. So we are received and loved as bond slaves. Someone who has been purchased. Someone that he has in his own household. And he has had regard for you in your humble state as a bond slave. And then Mary makes this comment, "For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." Could that be said of you? Could that be said of you? From this point on, all generations could look back at you and count you as blessed. The answer is yes. Yes, because you have been so loved in Christ Jesus, that the Father gave his one and only Son for you, and that you were loved in Christ Jesus so deeply that you have been rescued. Every generation from this point back could look at you, and if they could pull you out by name from some genealogy, they could look at you and say, "So blessed. So blessed." This is the reality of your salvation. This is the reality of Christ Jesus. This is the reality of your position in God if you call on him and if you love him. Our next step then is remember his mercies. Remember his mercies. Verse 49. "For the mighty one has done great things for me." The mighty one has done great things for me. For me, as my friend could say, he was always nice to me. He was always nice to me. And what might that have meant? That he opened a door for them? Helped them move one time? help them in this way or that, some ways that a mortal man can.
Well, we look and we see what has been done for you. It is the great works of the Mighty One. We look at Scripture, and if we looked at Exodus chapter 15 again, we would see as Moses proclaimed the great works of God, that he had moved heaven and earth to care for his church. We can look and see that God has moved heaven and earth to show you so great a mercy. In Psalm 18, in the beginning where it describes David calling out to God, then it says he bowed the heavens and came down in rescue. God has indeed bowed the heavens or bowed the heavens and brought and came down and has met you in rescue. The Mighty One has done great things for you. And even speak this in your heart, as we did, as we spoke and sang Psalm 103. Listen, O heart. Listen, O heart. The Mighty One has done great things for you. This is in the person and in the work of Christ Jesus. This brings us to our next step then. So we have been remembering, and now we are being moved, is the idea. We've been remembering, and now we are being moved. Our third step is protect his name as precious. Protect his name as precious. Luke 1:49. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Holy is his name. Consider in your life the things that you have counted as precious and the things that you have protected. I would imagine that even now you could think of something in your house that you have taken and you have set up on a shelf. Something that, or you have locked away, things that you count as precious. A friend of mine, after he was married, I would see him and he would take his wedding ring off when we were sitting around and he'd be twirling it around. And I was always thinking, and I may have even said, you are being foolish. Put that thing back on your finger before it rolls off the table and goes down a vent. You're being ridiculous. There are things in your life that if I came over, you might not want me to handle. My great-grandmother, when she would call my mom, and she would call her and ask her, she would say, why don't you get a babysitter and come over? There was a reason for that. We would break her stuff. She was not a grandmother. She was a great-grandmother. She had valuable things sitting around, things she didn't want us to touch, things we weren't allowed to touch, things that would be broken, things that were counted as precious. How much ought his name to be counted as precious? This morning in Sabbath school, we looked at Exodus chapter 34, and we saw when God comes down and he declares his name, he declares his judgment and his justice and his grace and his mercy, which all comes together in the name Jesus, that Yahweh saves, that he rescues in Christ Jesus. That name is to be counted as precious, something that we would guard, something that we would protect. And how do we do that? How do we do that? I'd ask you to think back again to the opening illustration. As I criticized this man, my friend said, he's always been nice to me. He's always been nice to me. We can rightly be in the place, if someone uses Christ's name wrongly, we can rightly say, he has always been good to me. He has always been good to me. We can even say that Mighty One has done great things for me. If someone would take up and protect the name of a fool, how much more so can you and I stand firm to protect the name of Christ Jesus, to make certain that it is being counted as holy. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yahweh saves is the announcement of the gospel. Jesus is the announcement of the good news that he has done great things for us. In Psalm 54, our salvation is being equated with his name. By your name, O God, now save me. Yahweh, as you save, save me. Psalm 103 that we sang, verse 1. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And we are even given the concept in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. So in connection with our affection for his name, it moves to our affection for other people as well, that God will not hold them blameless who take his name in vain. This puts us in a unique and a strange place in this world. We're a name that is used as a curse name. We are to count it as holy, to declare it as holy, to count it as precious, and to stand for it. We move back to now our remembrance and remembering what he has done. And this is our fourth step. This is meditate on his generational mercy. Meditate on his generational mercy. Luke 1:50. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. Psalm 103:17. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. This is a beautiful statement. When I was in seminary and I was talking with a woman that worked at the seminary, Amy Traup, and she was describing, and I asked her who her parents were, and she told me about who her parents were. And then being a good RP, she told me about who her grandparents were too. Being a better RP, it kept going and it kept going. And maybe it even kept going and kept going. And I was listening to this lineage, and I was a bit put off. And I said, Amy, I'm actually a bit jealous right now as you are describing this heritage and this lineage. And she responded, no, Micah. No. May you be the first in a great line. May you be the first in a great line. We see the way that God has worked, that as we bring our children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, as God was talking about calling Abraham his friend in Genesis 18:19, he said, because you will command your children concerning righteousness and justice, that this will go on. But it doesn't just go on in that way. We see that it had worked that way. Luke 1:54. And he has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever, that from Abraham it was going to go on and on and on and on and on. But it's not just the biological children that we look to. Galatians 3:7-9. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. It's not just the biological children that we bring up within our own home that are blessed, but it is all of those who will believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the woman who has no child, the scripture says, needs to stretch out her tent. Stretch out your tent because you are blessed within the household of faith. That this is the reality. We are more than flesh and blood. Every one of you, even if you are an orphan, even if you have no siblings, if you have no biological children, every one of you can look around this room and have grandparents, and you do have grandparents. You have brothers. You have sisters. You have children that God has given to us as family, and this is the great inheritance in Abraham. This is the promise that has been from of old. And your God is faithful in accomplishing all of his mighty word in each of our lives. He has always been good to you. He has always been good to you. So, have a humble heart. Our fifth step, have a humble heart. Luke 1, 51 and 52. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. We see what he accomplishes when our heart is right before him. When we do not say, look at me. Look at my strength. Look at my righteousness. But we say, he has exalted the humble. He has cared for me in my need. And we point to the great work of Christ Jesus and the mercy that has been shown to us. We see the fate of the proud and the arrogant in Psalm 136, which we will be singing later, verses 18 through 22. And he slew mighty kings and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant. For his loving kindness is everlasting. He will accomplish his good work. And when you are humble in your relationship to him, he responds to that. He lifts up the humble. And the picture, as always, in my mind goes back to, he lifts their head. When we are bowed low, when we are bowed low before him, even when we weep in prayer, even when we are at our end, when we fall to our knees and we cry out to him, he meets us there like no other place, it seems. And a gentle hand comes under your chin and he raises you up next to Christ Jesus. But it is the proud who are brought low. We see that mighty picture of him as king, where we have been separated from this judgment. In Revelation 19:15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations and will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. We look and we see that his judgment is certain on the proud, that they certainly will be struck down. And that could have been you and it could have been me. Before he changed our hearts, before he had given us faith, that has been you. That has been me. And even now, in what he has accomplished in us, we can be tempted to be drugged back to that pride. But as we remember who he is, as we remember what he has done, it is the place of the humble heart as we remember his mercies. This brings us to our sixth step, which is hunger for holiness. Hunger for holiness. If there is one mark of the church after we have trusted in Christ Jesus, perhaps it's this. that we really do hunger for righteousness. We hunger and we thirst for righteousness. We would be those people of wisdom, as we see in Proverbs, who look to the Scripture and look for understanding to see the ways in which we will apply His Word, to rejoice in the truth that God has taken Christ and made His steps into a way. In Luke 1:53, He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but he or they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Psalm 107:9, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. In the direct words of Christ from the Sermon on the Mount, blessed, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We look to see now as we respond, as we remember all that He has done, and this remembrance moves us. It moves us to worship. We worship Him and we exalt in Him. We praise Him. We give Him what He is due as His bond slaves. And we are moved forward in that worship. We are moved forward in that affection. Because each of us now can look back and see and know He has always been good to me. He has always been good to me. Remember, remember His loving kindness. Remember His faithfulness and be moved forward in true affection for Christ Jesus. Be moved forward in love and holiness. Pray with me. Our Lord, we exalt in the good that You have done. We praise You for Your loving kindness and Your faithfulness. We exalt You this morning, O God, as we continue to give You Your worship. Please bring to mind the good that You have done. And may we meditate on Your faithfulness, and even in the quiet watches of the night. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.